Well, we're ready to hit the fourth day, ending the first week. It's been a good week for those of you that hadn't heard. We had another baptism right after we dismissed. I just missed it. I hate it when that happens. Amanda Techmeyer from a Smart Road congregation in Kansas City was baptized. People want to know who Amanda is. But Amanda, would you mind standing just quickly? There she is in the back. Sweet gal. She plays a mean violin, let me tell you. So we're rejoiced with her and her family and that great news. Techmeyer. Yeah, Randy and Lawrence. Yeah. Okay. Today we have a variety of different, a couple of different things we're going to do. So we'll just kind of rush right on here into our first activity. The idea is living justly. Different from mercy that we'll talk about, although closely connected. This one's going to have to do with us and decisions we make in life. It has to do with what kinds of attitudes we have as we're faced problems in our life about how we're going to react. What kind of motivation do we have when we make decisions? And we'll get an opportunity to kind of see that a little bit in some role playing that we'll do. So starting with John 15 and 2, you go ahead and look at that and think about that for a moment. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. When you make a decision to grow, what can you expect to happen in your life? Think about that for a moment and jot down an idea, and then we'll come back together and share some of those things. Hopefully you know how the groups work, so what I'd like for you to do this time is turn around and introduce yourself again. And this time, if you're from outside of this area, tell them what you've enjoyed so far. Let them know what you've enjoyed about being here. If you're from this area, then let them know what you've enjoyed about having old people into your lives for this time. Introduce yourself, do a little sharing, and then talk about this. What can you expect from your perspective? Got a couple of minutes to do that. Would you turn to your neighbor and go, thank you very much. Okay, some of the ideas that you talked about from this, what do you think that passage has to do with maturity, and what do you think are some things we should expect? We generally don't like unpleasant surprises, and sometimes even regular surprises kind of unnerve us. We kind of like to know what's going to happen out there someplace so we can plan for it. So what do you think we might expect in our growth? Yes?
You can expect God to send people and situations into your life that will cause you to grow.
Okay, people and situations into your life that cause you to grow.
If you learn about God's word, you'll want to change your life, change your behavior patterns.
Okay, so God's word is also going to be a focus to get us to change our life and patterns. Yes?
Painful.
Okay, it is painful. We got the pruning going on here, and it is a painful process.
You're also going to see better fruit.
Okay, and there should be better stuff happen. I mean, you get through the pain, there's better stuff coming. Knowing that, yeah.
You can get a greater understanding.
Okay, a greater understanding of things going on. Dean?
If you accomplish whatever goal you set, you will have more satisfaction in your life. So you'll be happier, maybe you have more self-confidence.
Okay, the issue of self-confidence, satisfaction by accomplishing the goal. Yeah.
You don't know how to prune a tree, you can kill it.
Yeah.
Oh, good, I like that. And so from there you would...
Well, we look at who the husbandman is.
Ah, there we are. Get that. If you don't know how to prune a tree, you can kill it. And knowing that God is in charge of that comes back to one of my favorite passages, 1 Corinthians 10:13, lets us know that he's in control of what happens in our life.
Sometimes whenever we see a storm coming, we have to think that
again. That's to do again to get rid of all the excess baggage that we have in the world that he doesn't want us to have.
And that the storms of life many times determines the branches that stay and fall. And a lot of that has to do with this. I have two huge elms in my yard. They didn't get hit by the elm disease, the Dutch elm disease that came through in the 50s and 60s. They're this big around. And several years ago, they were looking really bad, and I had a company come in and lighten them. And they were, what is that? Is it, what's the word? Not agronomist. Agronomist. Is that the guy that works on trees? That guy. They were certified and they came in and these guys climbed the trees and they selectively cut branches. I mean, if it had been me, it was whoop over the top. But they went in there and they climbed all over that and boy, those trees looked really nice. And shortly after that, we had a big ice storm and nothing fell out of my tree. I mean, those people had done the job that they had we're supposed to do, and that's the way God is, I think, for us. Yeah, it's a great lesson. Okay, we'd like to look at the next section there about what is the difference between administering justice and living justly. Now, that seems a little strange, but I have a direction I'm going with this. So, in your groups for a minute, kind of talk about those two ideas and see if you can draw a line between those two concepts. Now, it may be difficult, and maybe it's a line only in my mind, so we'll find that out just shortly. But if you'd go through and just go ahead and do that. Thank you, Glenn. Go for it. I like the student up here. He's good. Okay, go ahead and take a couple minutes to think about those two concepts. Okay, if you turn to a neighbor and go, thank you. I warned the group back over there. I need a couple answers from the group back over in this corner. They were warned, so here we are. Let's go for it. What do you think about these two ideas? What did you come up with? Administering justice and living justly. Someone from back. Right. Yes, Dustin.
Administering justice, you usually talk about others. You don't necessarily have to be the ones that you're controlling. And living justly, you're basically responsible for yourself.
Okay, good. Another comment from back there.
Administering could also be maybe enforcing the justice.
Be what?
Enforcing the justice. Like enforcing.
Oh, enforcing, okay. Oops. An enforcement. And living justly would be, did you have a contrast to that or just?
Basically, you said it was yourself.
Okay. Good. I had someone pointed at Marvin and said Marvin had it nailed. So Marvin, what were you looking at? They said, do Marvin. And I said, okay. Well, it was a good source. You know how those sources are.
David suggested that administering needs to have a purpose. Because you have to interpret the purpose.
Interpret. Okay, and living you do what?
You have to interpret
it. Okay, so they both work that way, so it's a little different. Yeah, David?
He didn't let on what we're really talking about. We're talking about Quentin, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
So Quentin, his job is to administer justice a little bit and look at what he does, but he certainly doesn't live justice.
Okay, and I think that's an excellent example. I mean, it is one in the forefront, we all know it, and it makes it clear. We know the difference when we talk about that. And this, I don't see that as a slam, we're just talking about what's in front of us. And honestly. So it's a good illustration for you. Yes, in the back.
I put on the ministry justice, I put it non-personal because usually directed towards others, but living justice is very personal.
It always works for better for somebody else, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, you just tell me your problem. I can fix it right now. You just let me know. Yeah. Yeah, we get that, don't we? Yes.
Exactly. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we consider Christ Jesus, how perfect that fits there. We could go to the opposite of our leaders. Not only has he got the authority to administer the crown of justice, but he gave us an example tomorrow. So we're there. So we wouldn't have to worry about the administering justice. Thank you.
Okay. Kathleen? Which side was which?
And you. Okay,
there was a hand. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, that was, I'm sorry, I forgot to repeat that. That was immediate consequences when you live, when you administer justice, it's whereas living justly, it's a continuous process of living life, making decisions, going through it. Okay, yes, I got a couple more and then I'll go on.
You kind of associated the left side, administering justice, that belongs to God for the most part.
Okay.
The right side is what man's responsibility is.
Okay, the ministering justice belongs to God. The living justly is our responsibility, yeah.
Well, in a certain sense, in order to administer the justice, you have to be above the law. And in order to live justly, you must be under the law.
Okay. To administer justice, you have to be, in a sense, above the law. To live justly, you have to be under the law. Interesting thought. Huh? That's true. And he said, in a sense, and I think he would probably agree with that scenario, but there is a sense when you administer justice, you're living a little higher than the people underneath of you. You're making decisions for them, whereas living just, yeah. Yes. Okay, the idea of, again, coming back to the idea of God, let God do the administering, because he can do that, whereas we get in trouble when we begin making those decisions. Okay, placing blame, personal responsibility. Okay, I said two more and I've done about six. Okay.
You talked about the administrative justice as the application of the law. And living justly is living by the law.
Okay, an application of the law and living by the law. Tom?
Cheryl made a good comment in our group about, I think, Titus Matthew 7, how Jesus is talking about judging not. And then later on he says, first cast out of the eye of your own eye. That if you don't live justly, then to whatever extent we're allowed to administer justice, we will not be qualified to administer justice.
Okay, the idea of casting the beam out, if we don't live justly, it's going to be really difficult to administer justice. And that's kind of where we come back again. Okay, what I'm going to do now, on the next section, you saw a section that says, that makes absolutely no sense. It says, what were the rationalizations? I mean, it's just there. What in the world is that? Well, we're going to do that just right now. What I've done is I've got some scenarios. I ended up with five scenarios that were real nuggets. I mean, they just were a little section, and I asked some groups to role play those for us. And what I want you to do is listen to the conversation. I asked them to do it twice, once in a negative way and once in a positive way. and I ask them not to be easily convinced. I mean, let's try to hear some thinking processes. And I tried to pick things that I thought were real life situations. So, because growing to maturity means we're going to have to do it here, and we're going to have to make decisions about what's happening. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have these people come up, a group at a time, and they'll perform one of their ways, and we'll see all five of them. We'll take a little time and jot some notes down, and then I'll have them do them the other way, whichever way they didn't do it the first time. And we'll see, because I told them it didn't make any difference which one they wanted to do first. So you may get a mixture of positive and negatives, or all negatives or all positive, or 3 and 2, or 2 and 3. Okay, so you have the idea. So Doug and Jill said they wanted to go first. So.
Well, they want to be out there with kids, I think. And I do have 2 mics up here, so you guys can work this and settle on, so everybody can hear you.
So far? Good, because the acting wasn't that good. Okay, we're up at the point of, are there going to be other adults there? Are there adults there that I know and trust?
Yeah, sure.
Who?
Woodies are going to be there.
Okay, I trust the Woodies. Be back by 11. Have a good time.
Okay. This is the car. That's not an everyday occurrence. Hey, I know we were going to go to Disney Ice, but I heard there was this great beach party, and
where?
We're going to go to that.
Where at?
Down on the beach, down near San Diego.
Who's
going to
be there?
Some of the people we go to school with. It's going to be fun. You want to go?
Oh, I don't know. What are they going to do?
Oh, they're going to have a fire. They've got a bunch of wood down there. I was down there earlier today. They're going to have a bunch of wood, and we got enough wood for all night. We're going to have a big old keg there. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, but you told my dad we were going to Disney Ice.
What he doesn't know won't hurt him. It's okay.
Oh, I don't know if I should.
I'll still have you back by 11. It'll be all right.
I know the Woodies, though. They're going to be there.
Be where?
At Disney Ice.
Well, that's okay. They didn't know I was going.
Oh, I don't know if I should.
It'll be fun. Come on.
Well.
All your friends will be there.
Are you sure you get me home by 11?
I'll get you home by 11.
Okay. I'll go.
Okay.
And the crowd hisses. Okay, remember, now just hang on. I said you're going to get both sides, so relax. Okay, let's see the next group. All right, Jamie and Leah. It's funny, in my comments, I said, well, in Los Angeles, sure, we find some actors and actresses, and I think they're all from out of town.
That's why we involved. Okay, okay.
Okay. We're like friends in a math class. We're like sitting in the math class doing our math test. Okay. All right, sorry. Hey, Jamie, do you want to know the answer to number 5?
I've been really stuck on that one for a while, but I don't know.
Oh, come on. It's really tough, and I know the answer.
Well, I mean, it's not right to cheat.
Oh, come on. But you have to give me $1 first.
You said nothing about money.
Well, you know, I'm kind of short on change.
Okay.
All right, hand it over. Okay, the answer to 5 times 3 is 15.
Wow. Thanks.
Sure, no problem. Okay, that was like the negative side of cheating.
Okay, let's see. Justin and Adam.
Okay, the setting of the story, we're at a cheap hamburger stand. Hey, could I have one Coke, please?
Yeah, 275.
Yeah, 275.
Okay, here's your change, man.
All right, dude. Look at this. Look how much change I got, dude.
Whoa.
Right on, dude. We can, like, play so many arcade games.
Give me 5 of you.
Right on. Hey, wait a second. Maybe I should get this back to him.
I don't know. There's an awfully long line. That'll take forever, dude.
You know, but... You know, look at this. This place is so cheap, they can't afford, like, 25 cents.
It's their own fault. They should hire people who can add. I mean, come on.
All right, let's go.
Okay, Thomas and Josh.
Our scene takes place in the worldwide headquarters of El Taco Restaurants.
Josh, can you come in here?
Boy, Josh, you know, when I hired you, I knew I did a good thing. So are you having a good time working in finances?
Yeah.
I hear you're in charge of all the money that goes through. You know, everything goes through, you're in charge of it all. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, like, you could change anything that went through there, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, well, I've got a favor for you, all right? I mean, it's really important to me. I was kind of at the car dealership, and I accidentally bought a car off the company credit card. Now, I'm only, like, second in command here. I was supposed to buy a shipment of Doberman Pinschers, you know, for the new Super Burritos. But so, I was wondering if when that order goes through, you could kind of, like, have a small computer error or something. Would that be all right?
But wouldn't that be bad?
Well, technically speaking, but you see, it's only bad if you get caught. And no one checks your work, do they? I mean, they trust you. Right?
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So will you do this for me?
When?
Well, preferably before someone else sees it, you know, because even though I'm in a lofty position, I could get in trouble. That would be bad. Could you do that for me?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay, the Dobermans for the burritos, huh? Okay. You just never know what happens when you turn the class loose, do you? It's much like what happens in my own classroom at home. Okay, one last group, Tom and Warren.
This thing's going to take place in my front yard because I've got a car for sale. It's got a little bit of a problem with it. But we'll try to overlook that problem.
Are you the gentleman that has the car for sale?
Ask me.
My name's I'm Alive One.
Cole, gotcha?
Oh, gotcha. Just call me Ima.
You got it.
Well, is this it right here?
That's it.
Okay. Wow.
It's got new tires on it, new U-joints.
Yeah.
Deadly.
Yeah.
Radiator's been redone on it.
Yeah. Well, it looks pretty nice.
Runs good. Runs real good.
Good. How many miles on it?
Oh, about 75,000, somewhere in that area.
I was talking to a guy who knows something about cars. He said that it's always good to take a test drive. Would that be okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You want to go with me? Okay.
Let's go.
You sit there, I'll sit here.
All right.
Okay. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. All right. Let's see. Put it in gear.
Boom, boom, boom.
What is that noise?
It's just road noise.
Road noise.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Boom, boom, boom.
What's that?
That's a chuckle.
Doesn't sound like my other car.
This is a better car.
Is it a better car?
Yeah, yeah.
True, you're sure there's nothing wrong with this car?
Positive. I drive it every day, back and forth to work.
How much you want for it?
$3,000. Yeah.
Would you take $2,900?
No, I got to have $3,000, man.
Okay. Good deal.
All right. Here's the title. Thank you. They had a bad transmission.
It was a Midwest transmission, huh? Okay, take a couple of minutes. And in particular, I want you to go back and think about those situations and think about the scenarios and the rationalizations that were being used to sell the other person one way or the other, to sell them into whatever they were trying to get to. What were they doing? What kind of things were happening? So take a couple minutes and talk in your groups, and we'll go from there. Okay, would you turn to your neighbor and go, shh. Okay, what were some of the things that you saw in this that we need to kind of be aware of or take note of? Okay, so guilt was one of the things that was put on him. What else?
Minimizing and justifying.
Okay. Minimize and justify. Okay? Yeah. Okay. The line was a part of that.
Fitting in.
Okay. Fitting in. Yes.
It's so okay as long as you find out.
Okay.
Peer pressure.
Fear is underlying all that. Fear.
Okay. Fear.
Peer pressure.
Okay. I get that. Yeah.
It's their mistake, not mine.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that was the one. Afford it. Yeah. Okay. It just simply was. It was not convenient. Okay. And there are a lot of those things that we just know, and yet we find ourselves getting sucked into them. And my experience says that it doesn't make any difference what age you are. I mean, these are issues that sixth graders would put up if we were doing a DARE education program. But they're just as valid for those who are just recently married, those who have little kids, those who are retired,
and those who are in their later years. It doesn't make any difference. The same kinds of pressures happen to everybody. And in that, teens and the older ones should say, hey, we've got something in common. We all got pressures to do things we shouldn't be doing, and it's difficult to live justly. Yes.
Another thing, in all the, I think all the situations, the one that was being put pressure on was not sure. And if we're sure right away, we won't get that same pressure.
Okay. The ones that were receiving the pressures always behaved a little unsure. And that is a key for people to continue to drive home. Once you act in a positive manner, it makes a big difference. I really hate not seeing these others, but maybe we'll have to make some special arrangements. We do need to look at some scripture, to look at some patterns here. So let's do that first. And if we have time, we'll come back to scenarios. They were very verbose. I was thinking, you know, a minute, 2 minutes. We'd get in, get out a piece, and we'd be there. But it took a little longer than that. And they're going for Oscar nominations now. Maybe we can have
a rating
system later, yeah. I'd like to look at these scriptures. Now, we'd like to do it like we've done before, have the groups take them. These are just going to be numbered 1, 2, 3, 4. So 1, 2 in the first column, 3, 4 in the second column. So if this group would take 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Oh, we got two rows back there now. So 1, 2, 3 across the back, 4, 1, 2, 3. You guys are 4 over there. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, and you guys can do 1, and you guys do 2. Okay? If you get finished, look at another one. But we'll talk about these 4 areas just real quickly. So take a look at those. Okay, if you turn to your neighbor and go, shh. Thank you. Let's look at these and kind of get an idea of what's going on. We're looking at the values portrayed in these verses. We want to think about how are they going to affect the way we live as we look at these, and maybe what they have in common after we've looked at all of them. So the people that were involved with Psalm 82 and 3, what did you talk about?
Helping those who can't help themselves.
Okay. Helping those that can't help themselves. Okay. Defending them. Yeah. What was this?
Stand up. Stand up for them.
Stand up for them. Let's see. Defend. Stand up. How does that take place? What do we do? Yeah.
I like the way that nobody else.
Okay.
Can you repeat that, Dan?
Okay, he said like the widow that asked for a defense against her adversary, to have someone be on her side, so we can take the side of people. How does that translate to our real life? Okay, if there's abuse going on somewhere, then you stand up for those people. You be in their corner. And sometimes it's not an uncomfortable thing. You don't like that. Other ways that we can put that concept into practice, things that happen in real life. Yeah.
Well, lawyers, by design, and some of them do it very well, are supposed to help the little guy for free as a part of their, what they call a pro bono work or whatever, to again remember the little guy. You're making the big bucks off the big guy, but don't ever forget the little guy. It's part of your job to help them.
Okay, as a lawyer, they have pro bono works, remember the little guy. And that works for us as well, I think, in just our dealings with people. There are times when you've got something that you're selling and someone that comes to buy it, and you know that this is going to be a struggle, but they really need it. Do you maintain the price that you absolutely have, or do you go ahead and cut it down? You take a loss in order to help somebody else. I think that's the way that you can do that. I mean, no glory in it. You've already paid for the car. You're just trying to get some money out of it, so why not take a little less and give somebody else an advantage? It doesn't hurt you. I mean, you may want it, but... Yeah, and it takes time, doesn't it? Okay, let's go to Romans 13. Romans 13, quickly.
In my job, I'm offering cash. We need to realize that this goes hand in hand with what Jesus said about looking at the seasons after the seasons. So, as a part of our honor, we pay that. And this is our deep obedience to God.
Okay. You're paid cash, report it as part of your income. Glenn was saying he was in a job that he gets paid cash for sometimes. Oh, they try to pay him cash. Yeah. Okay. Other groups that were in there as you looked at that and thought about it. Yeah.
Well, the text is pretty clear. Pay your debts. If you owe taxes, pay them. And it goes right along with what he's saying. He's trying to be even above and beyond that. Going beyond just the obvious, but actually making sure that even the hidden things are brought to light in this.
Okay.
I support your government officials too.
Okay. And it is support government. I mean, they are there. Paul wrote that during the time of the Roman period, and they weren't known for their gratitude to the people they had conquered. But he still made that statement and still required that of the people. And so we sometimes feel like it's not fair, but it wasn't any fairer when Paul wrote it to that government. So it still is the thing that we need to do. Yeah.
If you're not honest in every dealing, it's gonna be easy to justify in other things.
Okay, honesty, and I'm sorry to do this, but I am now officially out of time. So let me do this real quickly. Luke 6:31. Give me some ideas quickly, yes.
If you expect justice, you have to live justly.
Okay. Live justly so that you can expect justice. Anything else in that group?
Be unselfish.
Unselfish. And in Colossians?
Let the master of the people to all employees serve.
Okay.
This was written to the master.
Right.
How to treat their slaves. It wasn't written to the slaves telling them to be sure your masters treat you this way.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that was a different passage. He wrote to the slaves later and told them what they'd do, but this was a passage to the masters. We have an obligation in whatever position we find ourselves in authority to treat people well. That's just our obligation. Don?
Again, serving God, because you're going to have an answer to your supreme master.
Okay, and the point is, in that passage, we have a supreme master. We're going to answer. So be aware.
We also have that same principle. It doesn't tell the husband, you make sure your wife does such and such. Or it doesn't tell the wives, you make sure your husbands do such and such. It tells the husbands to act one way, the wives to act another, and the children to act another. And it's spoken each time directly to the people.
Okay, and she was talking about we have the same principle in marriages. The husbands aren't told to make sure the wives do something. The husbands are told what to do, and vice versa, the wives.
Exception. Peter and John should obey God rather than man. That's in Acts. But that goes without saying, you put God first in everything.
Yeah.
That's right. You put God first in everything and watch those exceptions. Thank you, folks. We're out of time.